preface something for them, and it's this. Like, they are here to share stuff because they have stuff to share, not because they have figured it all out. Is that true, ladies?
Heavens. Yes.
Okay.
Well,
thank you for saying that.
Yes, that's what, like, I know.
Give me our experience.
All right, Melanie, we're going to start with you. Will you introduce your family? Here's a beautiful picture of them. Tell us a little bit about
us.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Melanie Fowler. I'm married to Brian. We have been married, if we make it to next Thursday, then it'll be 20 years. So we were married 20 years ago next Thursday here. Yeah, that's a lot of years. Lee is our oldest. He's a freshman at Memorial High School. He had surgery last night on his broken arm, and he's doing great. And I'm supposed to give, am I supposed to give that now too?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would call him, we're giving an adjective. He's my responsible one.
Yes.
Firstborn.
Yes.
yeah. Then William is just 14 and a half months behind Lee. He's an eighth grader at Memorial Middle. And he is, I would call him deep. He's a deep competitor. He's a deep thinker. He is a just deep, sensitive person. I don't know. And that was the word I came up with him.
That's really good.
He feels a lot and always. And then there's Jack. And Jack is a fifth grader at Bunker Hill Elementary. 11, just turned 11, and he is, I would call him charismatic. There's a lot of words for Jack, but
that's good. It's good.
Yeah, and then our newest family member is Duke, and he's 3. He's a rescue. We got him right before Christmas last year. It's a really crazy story, and he's had a whole life in a year at our house, but he's great, and he's been so good for my boys.
Yay.
And me. And Brian, maybe a little bit.
All right, Heather, tell us about your family.
Okay, so
he's back checking.
My husband,
back there.
Brooke, is back there.
Yay. Or right here.
If we make it to Saturday, we've been married
for
17
years. Oh, man.
Yay! You know, you get more vacation or a longer honeymoon if you get married around Thanksgiving.
So smart.
See, there's already a tip. It doesn't help anybody here in this room, but there's a tip.
Yeah. Not think about that.
No. Mom planned mine, so no idea. That's when the church is ready. Okay.
The big ones at the top are actually Luke is long-term, maybe yes. Will be a son-in-law at some point, and he's dating Kelly, who is my stepdaughter, who's 26 years old and is in med school. But I did not have the pleasure of raising her. Dylan is my oldest. He is 15 and a sophomore at Bel Air High School.
And this is how tall he actually is.
Uh-huh. He's like so 3 inches taller than that now. But, thanks to the test that we did, I had a really easy time getting work for him as Achiever. Mm. He's just, I mean, so many words. I could describe all my kids as funny, great sense of humor, but I mean, he's definitely an achiever. So, 6.5 years later, I had the twins, Sophie and Peyton. Sophie is 8 and a third grader at Westview, and she is my compassionate girl. She's just a sweetie and just an old soul. And Peyton is also 8 and a third grader. He is hopeful. He describes himself as hopeful, and I just love that. really sweet.
All right, Susan Moore.
We are the old people in the room. Bill and I have been married 30 years.
Yay!
This year, but in April, not in, you know. So we already made it to that one. Our kids are all firmly in their 20s. Jonathan is the oldest. He is currently 27. He's I'll skip over some things. He is currently stage managing for the Houston Ballet. So he is in Houston after saying, I will never come back to Houston. So yes. He did. So it's really nice to have him in town. And his word is adventurous. So I had words when I talked to the mainstreamers just a few weeks ago, and I decided different words. But he absolutely loves to travel and never hesitates to go places by himself, like around the world by himself. So Rachel is 25, and she is married and lives in Athens, Georgia. And her word has always been determined. What Rachel Moore sets her mind to do, she's going to make a list and figure it out and accomplish it. Rebecca is 23, and she is also in Houston, a nurse at Methodist Sugarland, and her word is loyal. Rebecca called me one day and said, on her way home from work, and said, Mom, I really love to talk to you, but you have to know that you're like my fourth person. Like, I tried three other friends and nobody else answered, but I really want to talk to you. She's so funny, but she is an extremely loyal friend and is always keeping up with people.
What does Rachel do?
Rachel is a child life specialist at the Children's Hospital of Atlanta.
Very awesome.
So many stories. It's hard.
I know. Thank you all so much for being here. The way we're going to do this is we have about five topics that we're going to kind of unpack, and they're going to tell you stuff about, but then we're going to do some speed round stuff because I want y'all to get all of their amazing tips. So we're going to start with a conversation on one of my very favorite topics and something we spent a lot of time thinking about last year, which is family meals. So tell us if you do them and how you do them and any tips or techniques you have for us. Susan, go ahead and start.
Somebody.
Go ahead. Anybody.
Yeah, so much easier when the kids were younger. But yes, we had family meals on the nights when we could. Pretty quickly, we determined that that's not going to happen in any shape or form 7 nights a week or even 5 nights a week or even however many. So, but we tried for as many as we could. And we had dinner not so much at the same time every night, but whenever the five of us were there and could sit down together. So when kids get to high school, of course, that's a little more tricky. But that was kind of how we did that. We're going to come back to grandparents?
Yeah, we're going to come back to grandparents.
It was good time that we set aside at least once a week for family conversation.
Melanie.
Well, I agree. Ours has kind of morphed over time. It was a lot easier when we were in charge of their schedule, and now I'm not. The boys expect a family meal. Like, it's an expectation that we're going to have it at some point during the week, and it crazily falls on usually Friday nights, which it used to be I'm not cooking Friday night or we're going out, but now I actually like it if we're home and then they can go out and do whatever they're doing. But then the most favorite thing they do now is in the summers when we're not in a schedule is I let them meal plan and they plan their own meal and they have to shop for it and do it and they spend all day and they love it. And then it only happens 3 times in the summer. They each get a day, but they still talk about their meals and just something we've kind of added to make sure that we actually get it done. And they made good stuff. Well, yeah, I do feel like because I am the only girl in the family, the boys need to learn how to do some things. And so I'm like, well, then they need to know how to cook.
Did you give them, like, a list to pick from?
No, they just...
They were like, I want your old stuff? They, like chicken nuggets and taquitos? Like, that's all I want?
Well, Jack's meal was... this past summer, Jack's was baked potatoes. But I'm like, okay. But then they know we always have, three things that they're eating. And they always have to have a fruit, a vegetable, and...
Okay, so you kind of did set...
Give a few parameters.
Yeah, I mean, but yes, I guess
and
that.
And it was once a week that you let them?
No, only once in the summer. No. They would love to do it every week, but no.
So
I don't give up that much control.
One time during the whole summer?
Yes, like each boy got to pick a day.
Oh, that's what I meant. Okay,
yes.
No, she's saying like once.
One.
One time.
One.
Oh, and
It's a big deal.
Oh. Yeah, they loved it. They still talk about it. And they're like, when's my next meal? I'm like, oh, that doesn't happen until summer. Maybe we'll do it over Christmas. We'll be home.
It's hard during the school year. It is. Because if something gets like a wrench thrown into it, I'm sorry, employee.
No.
You're good. You're good.
And I think being flexible with meal planning, too. Like, well, that's meal plan. But just being with the family dinner, it was hard for me to let that go because it was so important. And I loved it growing up. And Brian did too, and letting it go that it's okay if it's not every night. Just make the ones that we are together special.
Y'all write that down. Write that in your brain.
Yeah, and the food doesn't have to be good. I'm not a great cook, and we eat a lot of Costco food, but it's fine. Like, it's just the time.
And Heather, how do y'all do it?
So we're awful at family dinners, but we do breakfast.
Oh. Don't y'all love that?
That's awesome.
It just turned out that way, especially once I realized that the TV in the morning was a nightmare, that nobody's excited about leaving to go to school, so everybody's enjoying their time at the table. And so I just make sure I get up a little bit earlier so that I'm done and can sit down. And we've got some fun books that we will read from sometimes or ask questions that are kind of silly, and I can record it, and we can look back at over the years and see what so-and-so said was their dream job 3 years ago. And
awesome.
That's great.
So how many mornings do you do this?
I mean, I do it all 5 mornings with the twins, but whenever Dylan doesn't have cross-country, he does it too.
And what do you have?
For breakfast?
Yeah. Oh. Like, is it, here's the box of cereal and the gallon of milk, or like you whipping up the bacon and the eggs?
No, like biscuits but biscuits, you know, you unpop the thing and put it in the oven.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my kind of biscuit.
Right?
So it's done.
All right. That counts.
Like, they're not burned,
that
right?
Totally counts.
Patties, you know.
Yeah.
Cereal. Everyone has something different, pretty much, kind of. But yeah, chocolate milk and strawberries.
But you all pick something that you could systemize, like that you could make work for your family. And the important thing wasn't what you were eating, but the experience that you were sharing. And nor really how often.
Right.
As long as it was.
Right.
It's awesome. It's awesome. All right, Heather, I want to go to you. Like, this is one of my favorite things that I've ever heard. So last week when the baby boss, bedtime boss, was here, one of the things she said, and I saw many people's faces go like, and mine did too, like, oh, you need to find one-on-one time. How much time did she say? 20 minutes every day? 18? How many?
15.
Only 15. 15 minutes with
I'm
each
so
child, right?
Man.
Like, I was like, man, that's incredible. Like, that's so good. Y'all probably do that.
Every day.
They do that. The McKims do that. But like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And it's important. And how do y'all do that? Tell us everything.
I mean, a lot of ours is natural because, like I said, we've got a 6.5-year age gap. So for Dylan, the twins go to bed a lot earlier than he does, so we get time after they go to bed. And, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but finding things to bond with a teenager over are kind of, it's challenging. So, I mean, you can't just take them out to pump it up or whatever. So, like, over the summer, we binge-watched a show, Friday Night Lights. Neither of us had ever seen it. And so after the kids would go to bed, we would look forward to that time together, and we would watch an episode. And it gives us something to talk about, too, throughout the other days. And the twins, you know, you end up with random time. Just here and there, like Sophie will run off with Hadley, the neighbor, and Dylan's doing homework, so Peyton and I can do an art project together. Or every season was always different too. Like the first year I had the twins, there was one day I didn't work, so I would pick Dylan up from school early, and we would go sit for an hour at Little Matt's and have fries and whatever. And but
tell us about what you do on Sunday mornings to get one-on-one time.
Oh, so on Sundays, the post-programming, the twins will stay, and Dylan will leave with Brooke and I, and we'll go out to a nice lunch or a restaurant. We can go to a restaurant and go to eat somewhere. somewhere other than we can't go to Chick-fil-A on Sunday, but you know what I mean. Somewhere with really good food. And get that time with him, because it's so much easier with the littles and bedtime routines and whatever you do with them, but it's that older one that it's we won't have to be more intentional about. But
it's really good. Really good. How do the McKims do it?
You know, it's similar. Actually, at the beginning, you talk about Friday Night Lights, and I did something similar with our oldest, who's a 13-year-old, and I could just tell she wouldn't seek out attention as much as the 10-year-old and the 6-year-old, which actually had dedicated nights when I would read to the child on a certain night, or she would read to me, or Jake would read to one of them. And bedtime with those two younger ones, also he and I would alternate singing and telling stories in the bed at the end of the day and just talking about the day. But Alex had for 2 years been asking to watch a specific show that all her friends had watched, and I had said no for the very longest time. And finally, at the beginning of last summer, I said, okay, you know, you said, why don't you watch an episode of it, and then y'all can watch it together. And sure enough, I watched it. I said, okay, other than the language, everything is okay. And so we'll watch it. She and I can watch it together. And she got to the point where she was seeking out me, like, well, can we watch another episode of Stranger Things? Mm-hmm. And I used it as an opportunity to almost pause it and say, did you see how that mom was so scared? Oh my gosh, she ran out of the house. But then she like knew her child was missing, even though a monster was coming out of the wall. Oh, and you have to find, you have to be braver than, so like, we have to talk about it. And she would seek me out then to watch episodes.
That's
we also
awesome.
Kind of talked about. So, like, it was very similar because the bedtime stuff with the younger ones, you can schedule it in between reading or just dedicated talk time, swapping off.
And didn't somebody say last week, like, you stagger or, like, somebody gets to stay up late one night? Was that you, Heidi? Like, maybe you get to stay up a little bit later and grab some one-on-one time?
Brody gets to stay up. He stays up a little bit later because he doesn't, he's not, he might look night owl. He's always been like that. And so, and he sleeps fine. But, yeah, we do, it's harder with the girls being in the same room. So we split. One of them will start off in our room and then the other room. And so we do it that way. But I've started to read with Brody at night.
Yeah.
And he always asks me. I can't do it every single night if it's real late, but we read Sherlock Holmes, which he loves.
That's awesome.
When he reads it, it's harder for him to kind of make sense of it, but when I read it with more emphatic because he's not trying to struggle with words, but I found that to be really helpful for him. So I feel like I wasn't, I always feel like I leave out my middle child all the time.
Yeah. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. Okay, we're going to do a speed round, which means they each get 1 minute to tell y'all all their best stuff. Okay, you ready? We're going to start with Susan. Normalizing conversation around healthy habits. Go.
When your children are grown, it is really, I don't know, it's not awful, but when your children are healthier than you are, and that is what happened at our house. So when they were in elementary school, I don't know why, but we didn't have to have fights over food because we did. We called them Lunchables. They weren't Lunchables, but we had different plates. And on this plate was a couple of vegetables and a fruit. And on this plate was some option or whatever of meat. And you had to eat something off each plate. And for some reason, that game with my kids just worked beautifully because they got to choose what they eat. I'm not making more than one or two meals. They're just kind of a couple of options. And so that got in their heads that you got to eat various things of different colors and whatever. And so food-wise, they grew. And now they're like, Mom, I can't believe that you're eating that and, you know, that kind of thing. Intentional about conversations at a pretty young age about addictive behaviors and talking about I was pretty sure younger than I want it to be my kids are going to experience drugs or see it or talk about it or have exposure to it or whatever, so I'm kind of talking about drugs and alcohol and that kind of stuff.
And Susan, when you did you sit them down and say we're having a conversation now, or how did that work?
No, usually it was in the car because we live in Houston, and so especially if it was one-on-one time in the car, then, you know, that was always a good time to ask about, what happened in the hall at school today or something. like that to get the conversation going. Not always, but sometimes it was over a meal, but usually it was in the car.
Nice. All right, Heather, best discipline technique.
Okay, so one of my kids has a behavior contract, which is great. I need it because it lines everything out for me, and we spent a year and a half learning it. These are the consequences. These are things that you can do instead of, and this is what happens if you don't choose that. And then I got them these Garmin watches, and I have an app on my phone, and I can add anything I want to it, and they get tokens for doing everything I need them to do, like getting ready in the morning. I mean, these things that you struggle with your kids and you get so annoyed that you've had to ask them 10 times to do whatever. So I add it to the list and I say, I'm going to tell you one time. And if you do it the first time, you get a token. And I just have to ding it on my phone and then their little watch dings and they get so excited. It's been great. I mean, you can put
and like, it's just the token. Like that's it. There's no the piece of candy or anything
it's
that
money.
Goes. That's awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome. All right, Melanie, the calendar. Tell us everything.
I love the schedule. I love it. So I have a weekly calendar. It's huge. It's the size of this, and it hangs in our laundry room, really, really right in the middle, anyway, on a wall. And it's weekly. And Sunday nights, I fill it all out. And the last column is my favorite now because it's meals. And so it makes me meal plan. And I let them know what we're having. And so we don't get complaints. They know what's coming. Now, do the meals change? Yes, because life changes. So, I mean, I might act like I'm going to do something, but I just, you know, put a little arrow. It's going to happen next week. But that has been life-changing for us. I've always had a calendar, but for them to be able to see it, it is, and now they can write on it. Like William the other day was writing all of his stuff. I was like, what are you doing? It was awesome. But it is, everybody can see it. So it's been great.
Awesome. And so, like, does it have yours and Brian's and, like, who's driving and picking and all of that? Or what all's on there? Tell us more.
Yeah, we all have. It's done by the week. I'm trying to think. And then it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the weekends I put together. And then everybody has a column this way, and everyone's done by color. And then the meals are at the end. I know. I didn't think about it. Okay, I will.
Send me a picture. We'll share.
I did think about taking a picture of the calendar.
I've heard it's legendary.
How busy are you on Sunday nights? I mean, could you just come over?
Well, and the boys would say, Mom, I did not do it this week. So it's like, I think October I only did it 2 weeks, but it's, life happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Kelly Barsh.
Well, this is not, I don't do this because I'm not very technological, as you know, but I have a friend, my best friend, she needed a calendar similar to what Melanie's describing, and she's not very organized, so she got her brother-in-law to help her sync her phone to an old iPad that they stuck behind an old TV that hung in their laundry room. So everything that she puts on her phone calendar is up on this TV screen.
Okay, now that's awesome. That is cool.
I've known about this for 5 years. I still don't have one myself, but I dream about it.
I dream about it. That's awesome.
It's an even easier way to do it now that there's smart TVs.
Yeah.
This is like, she had to go through an iPad on the thing, but it literally syncs her phone.
That's awesome.
To her husband, everybody sees everything they got to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and the boys now, the older boys have phones, and we've always had a family cap. So I'm trying to integrate it to their phone, be on a Google app or whatever, but there's just something about walking in the door all the time and seeing it on the door instead of having to look at the phone for what's going on. It's made life so much easier.
Awesome.
So much easier.
Heather, tell us the best advice you've ever been given.
I'm going to read this one. This was, like the twins were three and I was really struggling, and there was another twin mom with the exact same age kids down the street, and she really had it together. Anyway, so I went to this Bible study and this woman said, I am the mom that God chose for my kids. I'm equipped to be the mom my kids need. If God left it out, I don't need it, so get on with it. And it's just freeing. And Dolores, you say the same thing. So, and then also have the kids sleep in their school clothes.
And you're totally serious.
Oh, they yell out.
Like they put them on and sleep. Yeah. No pajamas. Brilliant. Like all my children always put pajamas on every night. Gosh, so much wasted time in my life. All right, here's another big topic for discussion. Melanie and Susan, talk about family vacations.
There's all different kinds of family vacations.
They're important to your family because?
Oh, because it is our time together. And honestly, my kids, we do family vacations with our little family, but my boys' favorite ones are when we're with our cousins and our bigger generational one family, whether that be the Fowler side or the Lee side. And my kids are the youngest of both, and their cousins are way older, but they still, I mean, they're kind of mad at us because we haven't planned anything this year. They're like, when are we going to hang out with the cousins and where are we going? I'm like, oh, yeah, it gets harder. But just getting away and being, and then we also travel with friends, and I think that's good for our family to see how other families work, not just like generational families or our little family, but how other friends' families work, and it's been good for all of us to see, and all kinds of budget. I mean, it doesn't have to be some fancy vacation. It can just be going to the beach for the day. I mean,
it's awesome. Y'all remember when we talked about your five people, and one of the ways to get your five people is to go on vacation and travel with friends. Oh,
yeah. And we've done that,
I bet your boys could go to those people.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Susan, tell us about your family vacations.
So my dad's favorite vacation was to go to the beach, and so for 57 years, I think, every summer, the family went to the beach even before we were born.
Like that was way before you were born.
Way before I was born, yes. So my kids growing up, same thing with extended family, going on vacation in the summer, and really loved that, and enough that it got to be kind of a tradition. Also, you will hear my kids talk about the Teospay. And Teospay is an Indian word for village. And so just the people that kind of help raise your children. And you'll hear them say, what are we doing with the Teospay this summer? Or when are we getting together with the Teospay? That kind of thing. So same thing Melanie said, worked really well for us. I told my kids, I don't know how this happened. I don't think this was parenting, but my kids, once they were old enough to actually travel by themselves, every year they have a sibling weekend. So the three of the parents are not invited.
Awesome.
But the three of them get together somewhere. They've gone somewhere different so far every year. But I thought that was not on my list of goals, and it should have been. But I love that my kids as adults now want to be together, and they plan a weekend together so that they can do that by themselves.
That's so cool. I love that so much.
That it's kind of on the one-on-one, but it's a long story how it got started. But we've taken the boys on a one-on-one trip when they turned 13, and we've done it twice now, and it has been the best experience. I mean, that.
So you and Brian take one boy.
One boy.
Mm-hmm. And the other two stay.
The other two stay.
And then
we go to a Texans away game. So we went to Jacksonville, Florida with Lee, but then he got to golf. So we do things they like to do. And then this year we took William to Los Angeles for the Texans game in Los Angeles, and they went to a Dodgers game. So we got to do baseball. And I know it's all sports related. It's terrible, but they love it. It's a great experience.
Also, this may be out of your control totally, but both sides of our family, grandparents took grandchildren on a trip about the same age. So there's a company that plans trips specifically for grandparents and grandchildren, where there are things for them to do together, things for grandparents to
take
do,
notes.
Yeah.
Things for grandchildren to do.
What's the website?
And that, I'll find it and give it to you.
You'll send me all the stuff I'll forward
to
them.
So that's also been really wonderful in our family.
That's awesome. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Right.
I don't
All right.
know. I wanted to go.
I'm sorry. No. Okay, here comes another speed round because, like, y'all have so much to tell us.
Sorry.
Melanie, talk about allowances.
Okay, so the boys get $1 per their age, except when they're in high school, it doubles. They get $2. $2 per their
Anna
age.
Anna still gets $1 for the record. She's 21.
Per week. And they have to, it's on Sundays, they have to ask us, or really Brian, they know I don't ever do that, but, because I'll say, go ask your father, but Brian, if we forget, there's no, like, adding up. If they don't, if we forget to do it and they don't ask us, then it's too bad, you just missed that week. They have to ask us for the money. Now, Brian's a little bit more lenient than that. I'm not. I'm like, sorry, you didn't ask. It's Tuesday, you're not getting it. But we have little savings accounts for them, and so if we don't have cash, because who carries cash anymore, you just add it. If you don't have the cash, then you just add it to their account, and then so then they can see, and they love that. They love watching it, and now the high schoolers have debit cards, so it works for money management, and they tithe, and anyway, was I supposed to say anything else about that?
No, that's great. Okay. That's great. Susan, talk about getting to and from church with your family on all the Sundays and Wednesdays and
gosh.
Holidays.
Yeah, please.
it's so hard.
Yeah, it is hard. And Bill and I discovered that we were kind of on the road to having church on the same list as everything else in the kids' lives, and decided early on that church can't be on the same list as everything else. So all the other stuff, my kids went to a music magnet elementary school, so stuff going on all the time, but that, you know, they have to go to school, so school can be on its own separate list, but the church couldn't be in this list because then it gets treated like everything else. Mm-hmm. So church had to be on a different list. And that didn't necessarily mean that every Sunday and every Wednesday of the year we had to be at church. It just meant that we had to think about that differently than we did music and sports and all the other things. I asked my kids about that this week, and Rachel said, you know, y'all set the expectation. So, you know, we modeled that just like I expected that school teachers were going to partner with me in teaching and raising children, I expect that, I'm not abdicating responsibility, but I expect that people at church, teachers and ministers and whoever, are going to partner with me in my kids' spiritual development, but they have to see that church is, you know, where church is on my priority list, and so that's, it made it, you know, like Wednesdays and so, I mean, that things came up, that doesn't mean that, but that we just had to make that change kind of when the kids were little to make sure it was on a different list.
Heather, talk about homework.
So, homework. All my kids like to do their homework at the dining table, or we just have one table, one meal table. Everyone likes to do their homework together. Dylan's the only one with his own room, and he has a desk in his room, and he hates to be alone. So, all the kids will sit at the table, and I'll sit at the table and do homework with them, and it's... it helps keep me in the loop, and I knew that when the twins started kindergarten, I think it's backwards, that's when I stopped working to stay home. I knew that it was going to be overwhelming to manage three kids in school, and in the way school is now, it's ridiculous. It's over the top, the amount of work they get, and so... We have a lot of bonding time during homework too. They get distracted easily with the three of them sitting there, but it's good. It's more family time.
And what level do you help them on a scale of 1 to 10?
Okay, well, I don't help Dylan at all. If he needs help, I mean, he's in trouble. So, yeah, no. And bad. I try and get them to do it on their own, but really my main job is looking at what they're doing and keeping them in their seats. Seriously. And to get them to stop singing so much.
That seems hard. Melanie, normalizing conversations, how your family talks about faith. How does that work?
It's a constant conversation. I think they've seen it. I don't know, what do I put on here? With what they've seen with caring for my parents when they were ill, those harder conversations or talking about your faith, it's just normal. I mean, we just talked about, well, who's praying for who, and okay, they would see me upset, and so they would see me go, and I would pull out my Bible and Bible verses, and we would start singing things at different points. But now, when they're struggling, we just lean on your faith, and I feel like they know what that means, and or I hope they do, and they seem to. They each go and will find their quiet spot and pull things out or ask questions. We're honest. We don't have all the answers, and it's not a scary. I didn't talk about my faith growing up, but we just talk about it a lot now. It's about where I am.
Let's talk about, Susan, let's talk about how you prioritize your time, your energy, your resources with three and all the things.
Yeah. So my mom was really helpful in this because I have two sisters, so there were three of us growing up also, and there were five in Bill's family. So both moms were very helpful. They were both really big on bloom where you're planted, mm-hmm. and do not waste time, energy, or resources worrying about or griping about where you're not. So we never lived in the same place as our parents, which was a shame from the grandparent and from our perspective. And at the same time, they would have been disappointed if we had constantly griped about kind of where we lived and where we were in life. So we tried hard to do that and to teach our kids to have that same attitude, because our kids saw a family, kind of a close family, whose grandparents lived in another part of the country, and constantly, every conversation almost said, oh, well, when you're coming back, this way, it was on the East Coast, when you're coming back to the East, until finally they just did, and it was a kind of a shame, kind of a sad situation, and so to be encouraging to them. I don't know that I have all the answers about how you prioritize things in a really great way so that you're not tired with three kids. I don't know if anybody knows how to do that. But I also had tried to have friends around me that I could say, when you see me wasting time, when you see me trying to think I can do it all, when you see me doing those, you all know that all the things you're not supposed to do, but we do them anyway. And when you see me doing that, shake me around a little bit and make me stop. So
that's good. All right. Another speed round. We're going to start with Melanie and Susan. You both gave the same answer to this. What's the biggest surprise of being a parent in your parenting? What was the biggest surprise to you?
How different all three of them are, and especially Lee and William, because they were only 14 months apart. They're raised, I look at them and go, I don't understand it. It really doesn't. How can you be that different when you're in the same? Our life experiences were the same with both of you. There wasn't that big of a difference, but they're so different.
Jonathan was my child that one Friday, he wasn't really very old, but he got in the car and he said, Mom, you can only ask me about my day on Fridays. And Rebecca is my child who, even when she went to college, she called me almost every day as she's walking across campus to, here's how my day went, Mom. They're just... I was the same way. They ate the same food. They had the same parents. And I know when each child's born, it's a different family. But really, they're raised in the same house. And they are all different. Their levels of extrovertedness and introvertedness, their wiring, they're all very different. And you've heard Steve say this probably, but you parent the same differently. Like, you just can't parent exactly the same for every child. It doesn't work. So I don't know, trying to get to know them, their love language, and how deeply they are comfortable talking about things at certain ages and that kind of stuff.
Well, and we forget about Jack. Not forget about him, but we forget that we haven't taught him that. Like, mm-hmm. especially that was way apparent at school. Like, hit third grade when all this stuff happens, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I told him that we mm-hmm. had to do that. Or, I just assumed that he knew, and I still do. We assume that he knows a lot, and he does.
Because you taught it twice.
Right. I mean, yeah. Or, you taught it to Lee and William at the same time, so we just assumed that, I'm like, oh, wait, he wasn't born for that. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, personality-wise, they're so different, all of them.
All right, Susan, what's your best tip for keeping harmony amongst the children?
So Heather said she had to stop the kids from singing. That's what we did in our house. And really all of them, especially Jonathan, though, was a singer. Jonathan was the first person to sing to baby Rebecca. And I don't know why this... Now it sounds so very trite, but we, when they were little and something was kind of breaking up, we just sang "You Are My Sunshine," and until we got to the redirect part, and and that seemed to help. Like, I have, and now they take sibling weekend trips together, yeah. So I don't know.
It's the long game.
It is absolutely the long game. We did do the, if they're fighting over a toy, we take the toy away, kind of, and talk about the, your relationship is more important than the toy deal.
My dad, when he saw the first time that we did that at our house, like, my dad grew up, spanking and all of, this thing, and he's like, wait, like, you're taking the toy and putting the toy in timeout? Like, he was, it just blew his mind. He's like, yep. What is happening here?
Yep. We tell ours, y'all are on the same team. Mm-hmm. Like, not necessarily against us, but y'all stop fighting yourselves. Like, you're supposed to be, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what
are you? Yeah, because they're going to have group text without you soon.
And because my parents aren't alive anymore, I say, look, look who I'm left with. I'm left with my siblings. So guess what? They see it. They're like, oh,
okay. Heather, talk about screen time.
Oh, yeah.
How do you manage screen time at the Ballard House?
Man, I mean, it's hard. Seriously. It's such a huge suck for the kids. I mean, they just like sucking them in.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like they wake up thinking about screens and they just have to have them. But I don't know. So right now I made up these rules that there's no screens before 7 o'clock in the morning, which is great. That means no screens before school, and they won't wake up. I swear they used to wake up early to go turn the TV on while we were still sleeping, and they only have an hour of screens on school nights, and it goes off at 6:30 whether they've gotten their hour in or not. And we set timers, or they set their own timer on their Garmin watches, and once it's over, or just having those parameters, like cut black and white rules around it, it's so freeing, because then when it's over, it's fine. There's no arguing about it, and then they look at each other and they'll play with each other. They're like, oh, there's nothing else to do. Let's go jump on the trampoline. And despite the huge age gap, all three of them can have fun out there, and it's been awesome. Or they can choose to cash in their screen time for money in 30-minute increments.
Nice.
Which I like, because it's a win. I'd rather mm-hmm. them do something other. I'd rather them play rather than watch TV or YouTube videos.
And how long did it take you, Heather, to get it to, like, all right, nobody argues, it's black and white, like, it's done? How long did that period last?
The morning took, like, I want to say 6 months. Mm. Like, they argued every single morning.
But you did it every time.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
But, I mean, it was 7 years in the making, like, to where this is the first year we have all the, this is the first school year we have all these rules in place that they're working, right?
Yeah, Heather's great in the morning about, we do that sometimes when you're talking about the day.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Gloria. Give us something else to do in the morning.
Our pleasure. Sorry, it's on a screen.
It was only one morning. It was every Monday morning. That was the treat. Like, you could watch the parrot cube video at the breakfast table. It got him to come to the school.
Nice.
Which was good because, just getting off the couch to go to the table can be a struggle.
All right, the last thing that I want, I mean, we wanted to listen to y'all so long, but the last thing that we have time for and that we really want to hear from is all of y'all talked about the role of your parents and grandparents with your kids. So, like, just share some of that from your perspective.
We lived states away from grandparents, all of my kids' growing up life. And so when, thankfully, they didn't mind traveling, so they came to visit. And when my parents came, they always took the kids out, just them. And Bill and I either stayed home or went out ourselves. And the first time that happened, they came home, and Jonathan said, Mom, Nana let us have dessert first, and this is my first child. And I look at my mother, and I say, Mom, you can't do that. And she says, I'm the grandmother. Of course I can do that. But it became this really sweet tradition for them that they still talk about. So, whatever ways you can connect to extended family, wherever they are or however you can do it, is really great. And then I think my kids have people here at this church that they also consider parents. And I, even before we knew the number 5 was a big deal, I prayed for very strange things. But one of them was that, that there were adults in my kids' lives that they would go to when they didn't want to come to me. One of the strange ones was that when they did something wrong, they would get caught. That can be for another story. I think that, again, just the connections here were really important because people, it was the village, and people parented them like we parent all of our children in the fellowship hall. That happened with our kids, too.
My turn? Well, I would say grandparents and our growing up was huge for my mom and dad, when they were healthy and fine, took Lee and had him when he was a week old. Like, literally, I think he spent the night over there after, like, 7 days. When I would say that, they'd be like, that's so weird. It's so freeing, actually. It was so freeing. And Ann and Bob are the same way. The Fowlers they've just both piggybacked, and then going through my parents' illnesses, the boys witnessed that. We're weird because all of our family lives here. And there are benefits, and then there are some things that there just have to happen, and they see all of that. And it has been so nice that it's not just us. We're in it together. The Fowlers are my parents now. It's just, it works, and it's not all rosy all the time, and we have to work it out. But I feel like for the boys, it is one of the things that they know everything's going to be all right. When things aren't okay, they know, okay, there are people around me that I can go to. And Jack calls Ann Fowler to take her mom vacation. So, hey, Gigi, can you take me here? So, let's go. And they do. And I didn't know. I thought that's how you raised your kids. You let your kids go if you're supposed to have them with their families. And I've learned, as gotten older and being with friends, that, oh, no, people don't do that. Like,
oh, like, go spend the night with your grandparents or go, you know, take them here and there. That was just always an expectation. We just do it, and I didn't know that was a thing.
And I feel like even though your, like, all of their grandparents are here, they also had church grandparents that weren't biological.
Absolutely. No.
Like, Jeanette Hurd and Jack Fowler are the sweetest things ever, right?
No, they absolutely have had tons of relationships with people that are like their grandparents. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to see as a parent to go, oh, that, and especially since I don't have my parents, so it's nice for them not just to have the Fowlers. Mm-hmm. I have other people to lean on. It just happens. I think you just have to let it happen. Like, let it
be okay with it.
Yeah.
All right, Heather, you get the last word.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know what we would have done without grandparents. I mean, especially when the twins came, I mean, I was like, Mom, what time can you be here in the morning? Please wake up earlier. Greg could tell you about the downside because it's my parents that live here and they actually live on our street now. So, I mean, Dylan can walk his brother and sister down to my parents' house and they have Friday night steak night now have Dylan down. It's just a world of difference between the 15 and the 8. And I just feel like they pour so much into him, and I know they're gonna do that with the younger ones too. And not that they don't. We keep the Barbie dream house at my parents' house, and they have the swimming pool, and they like to play down there. I don't even think they know that Nana and Pop have Wi-Fi, so they think there's no internet down there.
That's great.
Fantastic. So, and it's totally different roles. Just because the grandparents spoil them when they come home, they still don't expect that from me. Mm-hmm. So it's, and then it's another support for me. Somebody who knows us deeply and who you can be honest with and ask for help at the last second.
Thank you all so much. Y'all are wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you.